Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. Don't expect us to be nice. Don't expect it to be safe. And don't expect us to be politically correct. Nothing is sacred. We find the queer, profane, and cringeworthy wherever we can, here on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred?
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Joy 94.9. The time is 10 o'clock, and you are with me, Patrick, and with the remarkable James Cooper. How are you this evening, James?
Very good. Very, very good, Patrick. Welcome to Australia Day.
Oh, but we're going to be talking, we're going to be breaking that apart, dear James.
Dissecting it.
Well, look, we have an incredibly packed show this evening. We're going to be speaking with the most recent receiver of the Australia Medal, Order of Australia Medal, which is Noel Tovey, a remarkable icon of the gay and lesbian community and the Indigenous community. We're also going to be speaking with Jeff Gallop.
Former WA Premier Jeff Gallop,
who is currently the chair of the Australian Republican Movement.
Ooh, who's going to see?
Well, listen, there was this beautiful thing that happened today. I don't know if you've heard. Have you heard? You don't watch news. But anyway, you're completely oblivious.
Enlighten me.
Oh, no. Well, you see, what happened was, you know this man, Tony Abbott, right? Yeah, well, he's recently brought back in Knights and Dames. And apparently, you know, women are lovely. They're just allowed to get, you know, our general honours list. But no, we have two knights now. And guess which one of them is? It's Prince Philip. And what has he done for Australia? In 2002, I think he said something to an Aboriginal elder, something along the lines of, do you guys still throw spears at each other?
Oh, dear.
Quite right, I gotta say. Put it back in your box, Mr. Prince Philip, Sir Prince Philip.
I think it's Tony's. Well, it's another face palm moment almost. It's kind of like
another face palm. There's so many. My face is very
sore.
We're
losing count. It's kind of like Australia Day is like the day where you like most people are just like chilling out, listening to the top 100. They're not even worrying about it, and he still manages to make it kind of awkward. It's just kind of like, oh dear.
Well, look, the one thing that I got to say that has come out of this cacophony, because we will be talking a lot about it, and we're also going to be speaking with Nathan Apo, who is a Brisbane Indigenous health worker. And Nathan recently wrote this beautiful article for Crikey talking about, he's speaking specifically about Survival Day, which is a term that a lot of Indigenous people use to remember Australia Day. Now, for those who don't know, and I'm sure you do, Australia Day is not a very happy day for people in Indigenous communities because it's the day where they mourn for the loss of their land, of their ancestors who died in the arrival of the First Fleet. So as we know, this is a very controversial day, and I've very happy that Noel Tovey won the Order of Australia. I spoke a little bit earlier with Noel, and we will be listening to that now. You are on Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9. Welcome to Joy 94.9. We're on Is Nothing Sacred. I just wanted to welcome our guest this evening is recent recipient of Member of the Order of Australia, Noel Tovey. Congratulations, Noel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's actually better than I thought it was. It's not the Order of Australia, it's the AM. I got the big medal.
You got the big medal? Goodness gracious me. That how does that feel for you, Noel? Because it is such an incredible honour and a huge thing to happen.
Well, it actually, I knew I had to succeed in something, which was my career, before people would listen to me about gay and Indigenous issues. And I think now having this medal, the Australia medal, it sort of vindicates my whole life. all the work I've done.
Well, you've already been a tremendous icon, both in the rainbow community and also in the Indigenous community, because, I mean, your life especially has been one of difficulties and always overcoming them and becoming an incredibly successful dancer, choreographer, actor, working in London for all that time. But at the same time, I mean, you're already well-loved throughout these cultures, but I suppose it's the mainstream community.
Well, yes, it is. I never ever thought that someone with my background would get an AM, for instance. I thought that just went to rich people in Melbourne and famous people. But it has made it, well, for me personally, it's made a tremendous difference. Well, not in my life, but I mean, just everything I do. I'm hoping that having the medal will enable me to speak out more for older LGBTI members. I mean, I do a lot now, but I'm hoping that I can do some more, because I had a call this morning just telling me that the funding was going to be cut for the for Val's Cafe, of which I'm the patron, which is for specifically for older LGBTI members. So I'm hoping that I can meet with the minister at some stage and say, look, it's stupid cutting the funding.
But already I'm sure that they would have listened to you first off. You're not Tovi. I do want to chat a little bit also about last year you did make an appearance at the Midsummer Carnival with the former Liberal Premier, Dennis Knapfein, where they were talking about overturning the convictions because you were convicted of sodomy, correct?
No, the charge was the abominable crime of buggery, and death penalty was still on the statute.
Since then, has that been wiped clean now for you?
Well, I have to apply for it to be wiped clean.
Oh, really? It isn't just an automatic, you have to apply for it?
No, it's not just automatic. But I was the spokesperson for, you know, people who'd been charged. And then I was invited to sit in Parliament while they debated it. And thankfully, all the parties agreed to abolish them.
Have you heard a lot from other people who were also charged with the same crime since you became the spokesperson
not so
for
much,
it?
Other people, but I've had emails from various parts of Australia asking me what they could do to have the law changed, because so far it's only in Victoria it's been changed.
And it has been, but it has also been flagged as well in New South Wales. So it looks like it's going to be moving towards that as well.
Yeah.
But it's not the entire of Australia yet.
No. It hasn't been, I don't think it's been debated in New South Wales
yet. No, it hasn't been debated in New South Wales yet, no.
No.
Well, it's on its way. This was a very quick chat, but I did just want to extend again my congratulations to you because, I mean, you've always been a remarkable icon and this just further proves it. Thank you so much, Noel, and congratulations again.
Thank you very much for calling.
You are on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred. That was myself speaking with Noel Tovi.
Fantastic interview. What an amazing man.
He's a really amazing man, and I wish I talked even more with him. Unfortunately, you know, it was so brief, but he's an amazing icon. I can't help keeping on going not enough about him, basically, because he lived through such an amazingly long and varied life. He talked a little bit else, and I did edit it out. He talked a lot about his abuse as a child, and it was just an incredibly very harrowing. But I thought I wanted to celebrate him, and he's an absolutely magnificent man. And he was on his way to a dinner party, so I didn't want to take too much of his time. He was just like, I'm on my way to a dinner party. I said, right, well, I will take your time and I will do this quickly, I promise.
Well, that's all right. Well, we're not going to, we're staying with the issues. We're certainly not leaving anything Indigenous in that relation. So so we've got on the line at the moment, we've got Damien on the line, and Damien's from Black Rainbow. Welcome, Damien. Thanks very much for joining us.
Welcome back, Damien.
Yes, welcome back. G'day, how are you?
Oh, we're magnificent, Damien. It's good to hear your voice again.
Yours too.
Now, Damien, first off, we wanted to chat a little bit because today, of course, is a very serious day for people in the Indigenous community. Recently, Black Rainbow has come up with this great campaign. It is through Black Rainbow, which is the Living Well Foundation for LGBTI Indigenous youths. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It's the purpose is around suicide prevention. I've been working in suicide prevention the last few years, and with the, I guess, with Black Rainbow taking up the way that it has in regards to its presence on social media, particularly on Facebook. Middle of last year, I quit my job and began, had a discussion with my husband and said, look, I really want to invest some time in some of this stuff that I'm doing, and he said, go for it. So it's been a combination of about 6 months of planning and getting some people together in those chats, and it's like, right, let's set up, let's be bold, let's be brave, and let's go forth and set up the first Indigenous Suicide Prevention Foundation for Indigenous LGBTI people. And so, yeah, it's called the Black Rainbow Living Well Foundation. Part of it is that there's a lot of stuff out there that we don't know. But when you look at the statistics and the research coming out of North America, it's really quite chilling, particularly when we're mirrored, our survival or our suicide rates are mirrored pretty much spot on when it comes to the LGBTI community, but also the Aboriginal community from over there. Their First Nation suicide rates is about 2.5%, their national average. And here in Australia, it's about 14% for same-sex attracted, very similar to other parts of the world. When you look at the intersection of both being either a person of colour, so an African-American over in the States, racism plays a really big part here. But also looking at First Nations people, whether they're the Native Americans or Aboriginal Canadians, and also being of same-sex attracted or LGBTI, the rates of suicide, or at least the suicide ideation, is around nearly close to 50% of that population consider suicide in their youth. So in Australia here, there's no research around that. There's nothing around what are the social determinants of ill health, what are the social determinants of good health, what are the risk factors, how often are these thoughts happening? And so it was kind of like, well, yeah, just got to go for it. Initially, it was only for probably about $25,000, but before I hit send on the actual start some good campaign, I thought, well, no, we're going to ask for more so that we're not left empty-handed at the end and have to then further chase them. But also, I guess, in a way, it's to sort of prove to people that we're not relying on government, we're not wanting to having to go to their knock on their door and ask them for money as well. So, yeah, it's kind of, what's the word? It's been a lot of anxiety the last couple of weeks in regards to it, but it's been fantastic. The support's absolutely been fantastic, because there's two things. It's raising the money, but also raising the profile of the issues. And I do have to do a couple of shout-outs. Stereo Gummis, or Johnny...
Johnny Seymour and Paul Mack?
Yes.
Stereogamous.
Yes. They've been absolutely fantastic putting it out there. Brendan McLean as well. These are people I don't know. These are actually from Twitter who've just... And Johnny Seymour, I've been moving on Twitter together for a while, but also Pauline Pantown, been putting the word out. Father Bob.
So the gay mafia has been really just behind this one.
Is that who it is?
The mauve hand.
Well, that's okay. If there's a mafia to be part of, then that's the one I want to be part of, I guess.
When you get welcome to the family, it's a very different kind of scenario.
I'm glad I live in Broome. It sounds a bit frightening. So, yeah.
So, Damien, that sounds fantastic. So you're saying that there's been an element that it's been well received within this community, I suppose. But what further would you like to achieve, and what is the end point that you'd like to get to?
So what was the question? I just missed that.
So it was kind of basically saying what's going to be beyond this? What else are we looking for? Because there's several phases to this campaign, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. Look, the end result is actually to set up its own foundation, an own independent foundation that will look that we will focus on initially is around health promotion materials. It's so we can develop stuff. And it's just so that for an average, like very much what Black Rainbow does is to create positive images so people can see themselves in them and reflected in them. So when you go to a health service, whether it be in a hospital or an Aboriginal medical service or to a doctor's clinic, there's a poster or a literature that actually has an Aboriginal person that's identifiable as LGBTI on it. That would be the first step. Then also then the research around what are the risks of suicide. And then how that then we can influence these national plans that happen. I've just been asked to sit on the National Advisory Council for the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Suicide Prevention Evaluation Project. Yeah, no, Tom Carmo invited me last year, and we have our first meeting, I think, in a couple of weeks. And the primary reason why is also because this element that's never been brought to the table before is to ensure that the voices and the needs of the Indigenous LGBTI community are at the table. Now, I by no means have all of the and all the collective voices, but there's someone there that then can be that conduit to ensure that we don't get forgotten anymore. Because you look at all the reports that have been done over the last 4 or 5 years, and they've been absolutely fantastic, well-written reports. But Indigenous Australians, LGBTI Australians, aren't in them. Lose the Rainbows, the Growing Up Queer, the Writing Them In series, we're not in them. And that's okay, because it's an opportunity now to actually, well, we're going to do this, we can do this, do one specific for ourselves, and we can support the other foundations that are already in this area. We don't need to recreate the wheel by any means, but they need our input.
Damien, I think we'd actually like to keep you on for a little bit if you could, because we'd really like to hear a bit more about what you think the opportunities will be in that area. So just hang on the line for us. We've just got a few messages that we've got to go to.
You're on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred.
Joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You are on Joy 94.9. We're speaking with Damien Benson. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Now, we were just speaking a little bit earlier. Sorry, I got your name right, didn't I? Or have I spelt this wrong?
You said Benson. It's Bonson.
Damn it. I looked at it and I was like, no, that's wrong. I've got it written down. I was like, I know this. Nope. Look, Damien, we were speaking a little bit about your role. It looks like things with Black Rainbow have just... it completely exploded. When you think about the background of this, what was it you sent through to, it was to Koori Mail, was it, about Anthony Mundine? Is that it?
Yeah. It was a group of friends. They were kind of separate. I was part of the core writers that helped with that what was written. But Black Rainbow was sort of a side project that happened because the name Black Rainbow was used in that letter, and it as a collective rather than having LGBTI Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians as a kind of our acronym, and sort of went from there because the buzz from that letter was quite fantastic and there's quite a bit of community support.
Well, I mean, so, that's where we heard about you, so
yeah. Well, it's come a very long way with that, and it's just been through Facebook and raising the brand and to turn it into what it is going to become. Wasn't the initial plan. I mean, in the very early days, it was about me as a 15-year-old gay Aboriginal boy. How amazing would it be for me if I thought I could sit in front of a computer and look at images that reflected who I was, both as a gay person but also as an Aboriginal person. And that's been really the driving force. Some of the message that we get through the page are from young Aboriginal peoples and or their girlfriends or their boyfriends saying, oh, they never even knew this existed. They're so glad that it's here. They don't feel so alone. So that's been really, really fantastic. And I just also have to do a shout-out. It's not just the gay community that's been quite supportive. Also, the Aboriginal community has as well, particularly when I live up in Broome, so a bit isolated from all you folk in the Big Smoke. But the Twitter community online has been just absolutely fantastic. Luke Pearson from Indigenous X, the amazing author Anita Heiss, her book Titters is one of the rewards when you donate. She said that she'd chuck in a couple of her books and sign them. So it's been really, really well received. And you guys just spoke to Nathan earlier today as well.
And we will be playing it a little bit later today as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah, actually, I just saw that I was out and about. I just saw on Twitter that he was speaking to Julian. So, yeah, it's been great. There's a lot of people who I've been speaking to, and I've been doing a bit of radio last week, and they're like, no one's ever thought of what that would be like, the racism and the homophobia. We just never thought that there would be anything different there. And when you have that conversation, they're like, wow. So, because, you know, racism is a determinant of health. There's a lot of research around there. Obviously, you know that homophobia is a big determinant of health. And it's not positive. So when you've got those two at the same time, especially when they're just microaggressions, but how many microaggressions do we get a day around homophobia that we, as we get older, we kind of learn to brush off. But when you're an Aboriginal person, yeah, and you have that as being Aboriginal as well. So, and it's the casual racism, the, you know, institutional racism, it's the actual racism. So, yeah.
Damien, I'm kind of interested as well because we've talked a little bit about suicide prevention on the show before, but is there a positive sign? Like, what is a person or a gay Aboriginal person living in a region, what is going to make them more resilient? What is a trait potentially that will make them more resilient? Is it about having a network around you, having all those positive people? Does that make you potentially, you know, you're able to brush aside, you know, sort of what you were talking about there, like the negative, you know, if you're getting any negative statements or anything like that?
A lot of microaggressions.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think having a good support network is absolutely fantastic. Without a doubt, but it's not to think. I don't want anybody to think that if they don't have that, there's no other resources out there for that. I think it's just continuously getting able to get a message through and just say you are not alone. There's other people out there like you, and the support is out there for you. Because sometimes you will be isolated, or people can be isolated and actually not have a network of support. But I don't want people to think that just because they don't have that there's nothing out there for them. So, but what hoping to do with the Black Rainbow as well is creating, adding to the world that they live in some positivity that's reflected for them as well. As I said, you don't never, outside of, I think, HIV and bloodborne viruses, you never see any health promotion materials with Aboriginal people on it. So when you're going to clinics, and that's around that, that security, I guess, around cultural security of going into a health service. But just wanting to really get to really, what's the word, to create a space that the young Aboriginal LGBTI people are living in, is to make it a lot more pleasant for them in any way that we know how. Because when you're looking at the determinants around racism and homophobia, you can be resilient, you know, as an iron, you know, have an iron shield on you. But as long as there's still intense homophobia, as long as there's still racism, there's still going to be this intense layer of oppression. And after a while, that resilience becomes scarring. And we shouldn't walk around with scars in our body, you know?
Of course.
People do just stop being assholes.
No, they do. Well, what I want to say, just to finish this off, obviously having... though, like, this resilience here of, obviously, we're looking to be able to make sure that they have a safe environment. And the beautiful thing also with Black Rainbow as well, not only being, I mean, it's been social media, or is my beautiful, beautiful Prime Minister Tony, who is my husband, yes. I hate him. Anyway, but, you know, it's called electronic graffiti, which I'm a Melbourneite. It's called street art to me. But, look, going back to this, I just want to say... keep it up. We're going to be supporting this a lot as well. I'll be sending in my donation when I get paid. And I'm living off Nick.
When it's payday, when it's payday. And that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. We've got 27 days or something to keep going, don't we?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's down to 19. On the 22nd of February is when it ends. But we've got some...
It says here 27 days to go.
Is it 27? Yes, well, 27 days to go. It's a Sunday that it ends. But it's been really exciting. The last few days have been... Last night, our Twitter account got hacked, and I was just absolutely devastated because I just thought... I had no plan B because I never prepared for it to happen. And because that's where a lot of activity has actually been happening, is via Twitter and the engagement there. Within five minutes, I don't know, I just checked an email and someone had donated $500. And I was just like... Wow, that's a really great pick-me-up. So we're at just over $3,000. The tipping point is $25,000.
And then up there, the ultimate goal is $100,000.
It's $100,000, absolutely. It's about being brave and it's about being bold and it's about saying, well, no, we're actually really serious about this.
Well, let's
the bottom line is, we're in the business of saving lives. That's what we are.
Now... we are going to reach for the stars for this. We're going to place it up on our Facebook page. And next week, we'll also keep reminding our listeners as well about this, because this is a very important cause. And I incredibly urge you all to donate any little bit that you can, because this is a very important cause. Thank you so much, Damien, for joining us. As always, it has been a pleasure. Your beautiful dulcet tones do soothe me. thank you very much, Damien.
Thanks. soon. Bye-bye.
No worries. We are on Joy 94.9, and we just want to remind our listeners, if you have any thoughts of self-harm or hurting yourself or any other crisis, please give a call to Lifeline on 13 11 14. That's a really important service, and I got to say it's absolutely marvellous what they do as well. I think that this one, especially for LGBTI Indigenous youths, this is going to be a tremendous thing, and I really am serious. If we keep pushing this, this is going to be wonderful.
And how fantastic to have someone like Damien that's so clearly so passionate in that space.
And someone who just rolled with it. You are on the Survival Day version of Is Nothing Sacred.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9 with Pat and James. We were just speaking with Damien Bonson from Black Rainbow, and we talked earlier with Noel Tovey. And also we just listened to MIA featuring the Wakenya Mob with, Mango Pickle Downriver.
That was really cool. That was
so cute. It's so cool. A bunch of awesome Aboriginal kids rapping with MIA. What's not to love? What is not to love? Next up, we're going to be speaking. Well, I spoke with earlier today, former Premier of Western Australia, current chair of the Australian Republic Movement, Jeff Gallop. We spoke about knighthoods. We spoke about Australia Day and more. You're on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred. Today we are speaking with Professor Geoffrey Gallop AC, former Premier of Western Australia and the current chair of the Australian Republic Movement. Hello, Geoffrey.
Hello. Thanks very much for the opportunity to speak.
The Australian Republic Movement has already made an announcement that it's rejecting the Knights and Dames as anachronistic and demeaning and renews its call for Australia to become an independent republic.
Well, I think there are many aspects of our system, of course, today that reflect progress on this front. And indeed, one of those was our honour system, which was completely run by Australians. There was a process of nomination and selection. Accountability was in there, a merit-based system. And by bringing back knights and dames, I think we illustrate the fact that what was progress has now been turned back, you know, to an anachronistic system that records people as knights or dames rather than on the basis of the value of the contribution they make to our society.
Obviously, we are noticing that today, most especially because one of the two knights that were put up was Prince Philip.
Well, I think it really is ludicrous. We've got some wonderful Australians recognised through our own honours system. And Tony Abbott has introduced over and above that what he now calls a captain's choice, where he recommends someone to be a knight or someone to be a dame to the Queen. And he's gone to Buckingham Palace for one of the first recipients of this award. I think it's an embarrassment for Australia that he's done this. We've got an excellent system. It's devised locally. It's run locally. It's got accountability, and he's superimposed on it something that Australians have never accepted, and that is the existence of an aristocracy or indeed a system of knights and dames such as they've had in England for many, many years.
What would an Australian republic look like?
Well, what we would have is an Australian citizen as our head of state. So we'd no longer have the Queen as our head of state. We'd have an Australian citizen. They'd be chosen through some method that's been determined. There are various ways and means by which that can be done. And they'd work with the powers of the office that had been determined by our own people. I mean, currently we've got the Queen and her reserve powers that transfer over to governors and Governor-General. And unfortunately, we don't have any say on who the next monarch is going to be in Britain. It's through the hereditary system. She's or he will be resident in another country. That's Great Britain. Occasional visitor. So the real difference would be we'd have a full-time president, head of state here in Australia, doing the job for Australians without any links to the British Crown.
Do you think it's going to be a huge change for people who are used to just voting for their prime minister?
Well, it depends on the system that the people determine that they want. I mean, there are different types of republics. You know, there's the fully fledged American type. There's the Irish type, which is very much like our system, with the president at the top, but, you know, not with any direct political power as a community representative, as opposed to Barack Obama, president of the United States, who, of course, has enormous power in their system. So I think Australians would probably prefer to stick with the parliamentary system of government. But I'm sure if we could devise a better system for determining who would be the head of state within that system.
Moving a little bit on, obviously, what do you think has been the key reasons why Australia has not yet become a republic when there has been such an overwhelming support for it throughout the time? I mean, back in 2008, when he was Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd had vowed to make Australia a republic. And my guess is that the response was going to be very limited, or there were other things, obviously, to worry about at the time. But why do you think it has taken so long?
The Australian people are very demanding. I mean, they, first of all, when there's a constitutional change that's proposed, they want to be fully involved in it. And I think they felt that in the 1990s constitutional convention, it was too dominated by the political class and not enough by ordinary Australians. They're very, very interested in the model. They'll want to have a model of the republic that they like. So I think the answer to that question is it's not easy to create a republic, and the Australian people will want it done absolutely perfectly if they're going to vote for it. And, you know, politics can be imperfect, and the people are saying, well, you know, if you don't get it right, we won't vote for it.
We've also brought up from the Australian Republic movement, there was also a little bit about today, Australia Day, in particular that it's not a day that unites us all as Australians. Do you want to just elaborate a little bit more on that?
Well, look, I think that what's the values that really, you know, prevail in Australia today? I think the primary values are that we're a free country, that we have fairness in our system of society. It's a fair go for everyone. There should be equality. We're multicultural. And here we have a system where a head of state is determined through hereditary processes, through a British system of hereditary power. And I think it's totally inconsistent. So I think we'd better unify all Australians if the system that determined who the head of state was determined by us, and any Australian could be in that role. Doesn't matter who they are, what their background is, what their sexuality was, whether they lived in the bush or whether they lived in the city, whether they were born here or not, all citizens would have a fair go at becoming a head of state.
Australia Day, as you said, it's a marker in our history. But what would be the alternative if we were to find a day that does truly unite us all?
Well, I think the day that we became a republic and took control of our system would be a very...
Yes,
very,
of course.
I think that would really give it to us. Obviously, as well, we've still got to recognise our Indigenous people. Look, I want equality to be not only the value that Australian people say that they have, but also a driving force in our society, so that when we see inequalities, we say to ourselves, well, this is not acceptable. We're all human beings together in this community. And they should be the values we uphold. But the monarchy, of course, is not based upon that system. It's based upon hereditary transmission of power from the Queen to her heirs and successors. And, of course, Prince Charles and would be King Charles would follow. We have no say in that.
Mm. Thank you so much for joining us today, Geoffrey. It was an absolute pleasure. And just on a quick personal note, as a former Western Australian, it's wonderful to be chatting with you as well.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. All the best.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are and is nothing sacred here on Joy 94.9.
Shake it out.
I couldn't resist that one. Look, I did promise the darling man who made that mixtape that I would talk about him, and of course I would. That was Everything's Taylor, the Taylor Swift versus Triple J's Hottest 100 with Jamie Francina. I hope I pronounced that correctly. I'll send it to you, Jamie. That was an amazing. The original mixtape goes for 33 minutes.
You did well to cut that down.
Well, look, you know what? It was actually quite hard because almost all of it is brilliant, and it's such a beautiful irony about the whole Triple J scenario. But let's move on from that, because we have the marvellous Nathan Apo, who we actually mentioned briefly earlier in the show. Now, Nathan Apo, he works in Indigenous health in far north Queensland, and he spoke with me earlier today because he's recently launched a campaign called Survival Day, educating people about what Australia Day really means to the Indigenous people of Australia, and we're going to be playing that right now. You are on Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred. Today, we are speaking with Nathan Apo. How are you going today, Nathan?
Yeah, good, thank you. And yourself?
Ah, you know what? I'm doing splendidly. You know, but there's this rash. It's a bit of a problem. No, anyway.
So Nathan, just give us a little bit of background of your history, what you do, and where you've come from.
Yeah, sure. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land that we gather on today and my ancestors, you know, past and present. Yeah, also would like to just make sure that I am, you know, that everyone know that I am speaking on behalf of myself. And you know, I'm an Indigenous man from Far North Queensland, originally from Innisfail, living in Brisbane at the moment. Through my grandparents, I'm very lucky to know what tribe they're from. I've got family from Mamu tribe in Far North Queensland. I've also got family links down to Bundjalung and tribes from Goreng Goreng as well.
So, Nathan, recently you wrote this wonderful article for Crikey where you were talking about rallying around Survival Day and to increase the education about the history of what is known to the white Australian population as Australia Day. Tell me a little bit, what inspired you to initially start this campaign?
I came up with this idea and I just thought that education is very important, you know. And I'm a firm believer that we cannot fight, you know, hate with hate. And I really do think that, you know, educating, you know, someone around us around what Australia Day means to Indigenous people and myself will help change their mind around, you know, how we perceive and how they perceive how we think Australia Day is. You know, a lot of non-Indigenous people don't understand why we don't celebrate Australia Day.
Can you please, for people who may not know, what does Australia Day mean for people who are Indigenous or maybe who are unaware about what the history of Australia Day is for them?
Yeah, sure. For myself and a lot of Indigenous people I come across and talk to, it's a very sad day and it's a day of mourning for our people. It's a day where, you know, the first fleet came over and it acknowledges, you know, coming here and you know, killing a lot of our people and moving a lot of our people on, and it was a day that we lost our right to practice our culture. So it's very hard for us to, you know, be represented in a day of with such sorrow. So you know, a lot of non-Indigenous people don't see that and don't, you know, really understand that. So I guess it's important for us as, you know, Indigenous people and myself. I've just thought that, you know, maybe we can educate people around that and hopefully, you know, get those messages across and people will start understanding that it doesn't represent everyone and I really do think that Australia Day should.
How does the campaign actually work for you? So you have a sign, that's correct? You've got a sign and it references 5 points. In your case, you've written your own 5 personal points.
Yeah. So I had an idea of just, you know, there is a lot of negativity around Australia Day for Indigenous people. You know, we talk about Invasion Day and you know, Survival Day and stuff like that. And you know, I wanted to, you know, talk about Survival Day in more of a positive matter. So, you know, the points that I came up with was around, you know, how much I love living in this beautiful country, around, you know, points around how Indigenous people don't celebrate Australia Day. Because of, you know, it's a day of mourning. And these points were points that I wanted to educate friends and family on. And I opened it up for everyone. You know, everyone could, you know, post their own points and, you know, educate in their own way. And I think that gave everyone ownership of being part of the campaign. And I actually seen a lot of people, you know, really happy to be a part of it. And I actually said that in a statement that not everyone can go on march and not everyone can go and speak at a rally and stuff. But, you know, someone may be able to, you know, retweet a message or, you know, talk to someone around them about, you know, Survival Day and what it means to them. And, you know, just find out a little bit more about how our First Nation people were, you know, treated and how they feel around, you know, Australia Day.
If you were to, this might be a little bit difficult because there is a lot to encompass, but in terms of the education for people who are unaware, if they are non-Indigenous or otherwise, what would you say is the most important thing you'd like to tell people in relation to Survival Day? If there was one key factor that you had to remind people about it?
Yeah, I guess for them, yeah, non-Indigenous people, just to understand that this day doesn't represent everyone. You know, it is a very sad day for our people, and you know, I would like to see. You know, we don't oppose Australia Day. Like, I love Australia. Like, I would love to celebrate Australia Day, but it doesn't really include us because, you know, it's a day of mourning, and I would like to see the date change. But, you know, if there was one thing I'd like to get across is just, it's, you know, it's a day of mourning, and it's not, you know, we're not a part of the Australia Day celebrations because it, you know, it doesn't represent us.
Hello, I am Amanda Palmer, and you're listening to Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only lesbian and gay community radio station.
You're on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred. That was our first part, speaking with Nathan Apo. We've got more coming up after that, but we have a message, James.
Oh, we do?
A message. What's the message?
Scotty. Thanks, Scotty.
Oh, I like Scotty.
He said, hi, Patrick and James. I take issue with knighthoods and in the Order of Australia being bestowed upon someone who is already titled and married to a monarch. Good point. Such titles should be given to true merit to fellow citizens. It saddens me greatly. Thanks for the good program, Scotty.
Thank you very much, Scotty.
I don't know that there'd be too many other people that would disagree with that, Scotty.
Completely not. If you want to have a lovely little, have a look at the joy of Prince Philip, there's this great article called 90 Gaffes for 90 Years, because Prince Philip is over 90. Bless him. That's what doing no work will do. And please have just a read of some of the beautiful things that he says, including to a Kenyan woman. He said to her, oh, it was lovely. Now, you are a woman, aren't you? And I'll leave you with that. Moving on to Nathan Apo, part two. So awkward. You're on Joy 94.9.
Because you did mention that you would like the date changed, and it is certainly a lot of people who talk about Survival Day. That is a very common sentiment, that the date doesn't well represent us. And certainly it's not only Indigenous people. Non-Indigenous people who understand Black history do not feel that it's an appropriate day to celebrate anymore, because it doesn't include all of Australia. But is there any alternative dates that may be pre-existing that you feel would be more appropriate for us to celebrate as a nation?
Yeah, to be honest, I actually haven't really thought that far. I think if you know, we can get people talking about this, that can come up in discussion. And you know, for me, I think, you know, once we get people talking about dates, and you know, I know Mabo Day is definitely an idea, and you know, but I think, you know, it could be on a day that, you know, that it's with a clean slate, you know, it's a day that everyone decides on, you know, as a nation, so we move forward together, and that's what this whole campaign's about, is educating everyone to hopefully, you know, one day celebrate a day that we all are represented by.
So further on from this campaign, is there other things that people can do who are passionate about educating about a Survival Day to do that could raise maybe the profile even more, other than just as well putting up the sign?
It's a tough one. I haven't really thought that far. I've got a few ideas for next year, but talking to my sister, you know, I think one thing that we don't want to happen is the conversation to stop. I think it's important that this conversation continues, and we find out, you know, everyone's thoughts around Australia Day and changing the date. And, you know, this is where that education comes back. And you know, it's better us talking about it than not, you know. So for me, I think it's, you know, important that we do talk about it. And, if I have some advice for, you know, not the non-Indigenous community and the multicultural community, ask someone about it. Talk to someone about, you know, their thoughts, or, you know, talk to an Indigenous person in their community, or research it and find out a bit more. And don't be afraid to talk about it, because, you know, that's the only way we're going to, I feel, is move forward. And we need everyone's support on this. It can't be just us and them anymore. We've got to be united. And I always think that education has a big part to play in it. You know, everyone plays a part in moving forward in reconciliation around Australia Day, and everyone's got a part to play. you know, and it's all year round. Like I said, you know, we don't want that conversation to stop. But like I said, it is only myself. These are my thoughts, and this is something I've wanted to try and get across and hopefully kickstart. And I do really feel that it can pick up, and the support I've seen on social media has been, you know, all positive. You know, there's been, you know, a few hundred retweets and favorites and stuff like that, which is really encouraging. So, I'm just glad that we're getting the message out there.
Nathan, thank you very much for joining us this evening. It has been an absolute pleasure talking with you. We'll be joining in as well with your campaign, and we'll keep the conversation going.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hello, I am Amanda Palmer, and you're listening to Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only lesbian and gay community radio station.
You're enjoying 94.9 on Nothing
she has
Sacred.
Such a good voice.
It's like a dulcet tone that's really, really gorgeous. I just look, you know, I should just do a show one day where I just do all my celebrity impressions, because I don't know if anyone would be interested in it. But seriously, I did Bjork earlier, and it was very exciting. And we're going to be listening to her towards the end, where she declares independence.
Not now.
Not now. No, not now. Because we have to say goodbye now. Goodbye, bye, 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 bye.
Minions.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you so much. I want to say a huge thank you to Rob at the front desk for helping us out today. James, it's always a pleasure to share the desk with you.
Thank you. It was beautiful. What a great show.
It's been a great show. Thank you very much to Noel Tovey. Congratulations again to Noel. Thank you very much to Jeff Gallup. Also, a huge thank you to Nathan Apo, and also beautiful to Damien Bonson. And we will be putting up about Survival Day campaign as well, where we'll keep the conversation going, and also be placing up a bit about the Living Well Foundation with Black Rainbow.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.